Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope each and every one of you had an amazing weekend. Oh, so I guess I don't need to restart it anymore. Hair doesn't have a lot of... Oh, there it goes. That looks good. That is the spot when it comes to the hair. I actually have a, well, I don't want people to think just because I'm saying actually, like my producer Vulture doesn't give me good interviews and stuff, because he does. He gives me amazing interviews. I got Musty saying, sup, home slice, Shaggy 30, yo, Tuds. You know, I don't want to be one of those, like, stereotypical morning zoo, but, like, I would love to hear what you guys have been up to. I love engagement. I love talking with every single one of you guys. And you can call me 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. And if you don't want to call in, if you want to leave a text and you don't want to be in the chat room or whatever it may be, you can send a text at that number. I'm not going to dox you. I'm not going to give out your info or anything like that. The Jolly Gator, good afternoon. And it would not be a show if the one and only world famous Iggy T didn't say, hey, Tuttle, what's up? I had a pretty good weekend. Colton, you know, if you listen to me on the Bubble Love Sponge show, Colton, who is one of my best friends, the last time that I came back to Bubba's show, Colton and his family took me in open arms. They never once asked me to give them money, like for rent or anything like that. But I did. I helped out around the house as much as I could. I washed dishes after dinner. I helped Colton mow the lawn sometimes. Just whatever they needed. And if I'm being honest, for the most part, I sat out in the garage. And this is when I was in pretty deep when it came to the alcoholism. So I would just sit out in the garage, drink all day, tried to stay out of his family member's hair, stayed outside. When it came time to eat, I came in. And I don't want anybody to think like Colton's parents and family are like strict or anything, because they're not. It's just I didn't want to cause any issues. You know? I just did not. Musty ask a question. Are you back on Bubba's show? I haven't listened to him in like 4 years or so. Does he still have a show? Yeah, he still has a show, but no, I'm not on Bubba's show. I'm not on bad terms with Bubba. I'm not. It's just kind of burned some bridges that I'm not allowed on the terrestrial show anymore. So, I've talked to a Musty. Hold on. Let me see what this. She is so disrespectful, Patrick. I'm so sorry. The Jolly Gator. I did not see. My wife remembers you as the Dr. Nerdcock. Yes. No, I was not offended by that. Like, that was. So many people remember me about the evil Dr. Nerdcock gimmick that I did for a while. And it was so much wrestling. It was because I ended up getting into a stunt off with another guy or another part-timer on the show. It was Stunter. Loser quit stunting. And I lost big time. And Tuttle, the character of Tuttle, could not do stunts anymore. So I came up with this character that I'd done a couple of years previously. It's the evil Dr. Nerdcock. By the way, never once did any of our program directors when I worked at Real Radio ever came and said, you can't say that character's name. You cannot say the evil Dr. Nerdcock. But, I mean, it's somebody's last name. Dr. Nerdcock. Okay, so let's break this down. Could it be Nerdcoch? So what I'm saying is, like, they could not, the FCC couldn't say anything. We did not get in trouble the whole time I played the evil Dr. Nerdcock character. That went on for a couple of years, on and off. It would hit heavy with the evil Dr. Nerdcock storyline. And then it would go away for a little bit. And then I'd come back and I would do something. So I did that. And yeah, I'm not ashamed of that thing. That was funny as hell. Mussy said, I almost cried like 15 years ago when I found out Ned was fake. Look, I had been in radio for quite some time. Charm Charm 77. Do the podcast with Bubba. Like you mentioned, Tuts. I have no problem doing that. I would do it in a heartbeat. I would do it in a heartbeat. I would be a complete, absolute idiot If I did not want to do something on Bubba's channel just to be able to promote what I'm doing. I know he has a lot of haters out there and everything, but he has built a very, very strong following online when it comes to Twitch, YouTube. Bubba, even though he doesn't know a lot about technology. He doesn't know a lot, but he knew that he had to evolve, and he's doing it. He's doing it. So, yeah, I would be more than happy to do any type of content that Bubba wanted me to do. Musty asked, what are you doing, Tuds? All right, so I'll talk about this. A lot of people want to ask what I do. I'll tell you what I do, but I'm not going to tell you where or who or what company. I'm not doing it. It's not that I do not trust you guys, but there are a lot of trolls out there that would absolutely love for me, because right now, people, I am in an amazing place. Personally, I mean, personally, things are going well. I mean, all my friends are over on the West Coast. I got friends here in Volusia County. It gets lonely. It gets lonely working from home, working out, trying to improve yourself, doing the podcast. It gets lonely. So what I do is I work for a national company. They hire me as a recruiter. They hire me as a recruiter to find managers, district managers. They hire me to find salespeople. They find me from top to bottom, I'm not trying to find CEOs or COOs and stuff like that. But I'm doing hiring for them. I'm a recruiter. I'm almost like a headhunter. I'm just on the online all the time trying to find people. I'm hitting the phones. I am selling the company that I'm recruiting for. And I love it. I love it. And Ian Hannah, I love it. Ian Hannah says recruiting is a solid career. I had to learn a lot of stuff, Ian, but it's almost too easy for me. Because I know the people that I'm recruiting for. I know the managers that I'm recruiting for and stuff. And they're doing their stuff. My job is to sell the company. And I think I've absolutely killed it. Seriously. I am very happy right now. For the longest time, look, radio is always going to be my passion. Talk radio, podcasting, just creating content is always going to be my passion. I've always said this. I love radio. I love podcasting more than they love me. Because there's not many people that will outwork me or outsmart me, because I love this. This is my passion. And I know you guys were talking about Bubba earlier. Bubba would back me up on that. Tom and Dan, Russ Rollins, Ron Bennington, any of those guys would tell you, like, radio is my passion. Nobody loves it more. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I gotta start thinking about taking care of myself, retirement, all that stuff. So, I mean, and I need to give you a call so I can, I would love to, like, tell you what I'm doing and stuff. You can get certified and move up levels and transition to different industries. This recruiting thing, I love it because I take it personally. You want to know what I like most about the recruiting side? Is when I find somebody and I'm able to take them from one company that they're working at and being happy, and I'm able to get them to switch sides, come over to the other team and work. I get a lot of thrill out of that. I love it. The first time I was able to do that, I mean, I'm still doing this job. I know that last week I missed two shows. And it killed me. It absolutely killed me. But you want to know what else that I'm liking about this job? And, you know, it kind of makes me a little sad, people. is that my dad was always supportive of my passion of trying to do radio, but he always was like, you know, at some point you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. And I would love more than anything if my dad could see how well I'm doing right now. Also, the other thing that I like so much about this new job is that I don't know how retired people, senior citizens, are able to survive with the inflation and everything that's going on. And for me to be able to make money and help my mom out, It gave me that same type of high, that same type of just feeling of responsibility and stuff. And I'm not sitting here trying to suck my own dick or anything. But if you've known me for any amount of time, you guys all know, like, I've always been known as the irresponsible person. Everybody... Tuttle, you're horrible. You've been fired from so many other radio jobs. You burn all these bridges and all that good stuff. Yeah, you know what? I'm a fucked up person. I'm fucked up. But, like, I didn't... I hate working. I did ironworking. I did all of that stuff. I would do it because I'm a responsible person. I take care of my responsibilities. If I had kids, I would work the shittiest job that I would ever work. And I'm not afraid of it, but I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I'm all this stuff. And I need that serotonin release working a job. And I didn't think I was going to be able to get it from this one, but I have. I have. You guys are probably like, shut the fuck up, Tuttle. Shut up. We don't want to hear any more of this stuff. And waiting. I got like another 10 minutes before my guest comes on. He's a soccer player in Wales. He's a soccer player in Wales, and I'm wanting to interview him. So, the Living Numbers podcast. Well, hey, what's up, man? How are you, my friend? I'm gonna get with you after the show. I know we've been talking. I want to get you back on as a guest. You know, a lot of the guests that I've had on are just blowing up right now, and now I feel like I'm being a little bit of a slut or a whore because I'm like, oh, man, they're doing really, really well now. I got to get them back on the show. Kind of how I feel sometimes. But I was debating on if, all right, so I got the news story. And this is a weird story. This is in South Carolina. This group of guys got caught up in a murder rap, but I guess on their phone, they were going to homeless camps and just absolutely, I got angry watching this video. Now, the news did not show you how bad the video really, really was. The video that I'm going to show you, it's got all the bad words and everything beeped out of it. So when I play this news story, I want you to, because they do show some of the video, but I want to get your feedback, because I got about one minute, 30 seconds. My mouth is not working. I probably shouldn't have smoked before this, and I do apologize. So I got that video. All the bad words and stuff are bleeped out. So So watch this story first, and I want to hear from you guys to see if you want to see the video, the minute and a half video. So here's the story.
County. Four men are charged with brutally attacking people in homeless camps.
Two of those men were already in jail, accused of killing someone in the Poe Mill area this month. Our 7 News reporter Asia Wilson has the story.
The Greenville County Sheriff's Office says these attacks happened sometime.
Man, did you do a bump of cocaine before? Holy crap. Listen to how... Listen.
Between last year up to this year, some people who've seen the video posted by the Sheriff's Office says this is horrific.
Slow it down.
Horrific.
Hey, these bullets gonna fly through that motherfucker.
Some of what I saw, I know exists, but I didn't know it.
All right. We are very selfish people here in our country. We just see bums. We see vagrants, whatever you want to call them, as just people that are lazy. I bet most of the people in this homeless camp that these complete assholes raided and physically assaulted them, they all had some type of trauma growing up, some type of PTSD, some type of drug abuse, self-medicating. This is horrible. This makes me sick.
Was like that.
This video posted by the Greenville County.
Now, keep in mind, see, this guy's about to kick this guy in the face. I have the video. I have the video. All the bad words are bleeped out and everything. Do you want to see it? Is it not a good choice on my part to play it? I feel like it's a part of the news. I feel like it's a part of the news, and I think people's eyes need to be opened. And I'm not playing the video for shock value. I'm showing you the video so some of you people get angry at the way some people just treat human beings.
County Sheriff's Office shows men brutally attacking people in homeless camps. 7 News has chosen not to show this full video on air because of the violent content.
I mean, I have the video. It's hard to watch. You don't see a lot of blood. No, matter of fact, you really do not see any blood. I don't know.
Horrifying that those kinds of things take place to less fortunate people trying to find their way.
Deputies say Seth Norris, Logan Holmes, David Norris, and Joshua Norris attacked at least 5 people between October 2021 and June of this year. David and Seth Norris and Logan Holmes are on.
Look at these 3 here. I mean, the middle guy looks very emo-ish, but left and right, father, son, meth, addict. That's what it looks like.
All charged with attempted murder. Joshua Norris is charged with assault and battery by a mob.
I have no idea why anyone would think that's okay.
Seth and Joshua Norris were already behind bars accused of killing a man in Poe Mill.
You know, my anxiety and everything, you hear about all this stuff and that's all you hear in the news. My anxiety has gotten so bad, I don't even walk out onto the main road. I used to exercise down US 1. I would do my running and my walking and jogging down there. With all the stuff that I've been hearing now, I was doing my exercise one night and just the thought popped in my head. I was like, oh, what if a person was just having a bad day driving down the road and he just decided to start firing off rounds at people that are walking down the street? Now I can't even walk down the road. I cannot even. So I stay in this main neighborhood now. And the thing is that even if I was carrying my pistol, that I would never see it coming. I would never see it coming. If it's just a guy that was having a bad day in a car, just wanted to drive by and shoot, yep, wouldn't know anything about it. And then these people are already in jail waiting to go on trial for murder. And they probably found these videos on their cell phones.
Earlier this month.
Absolutely, that is wrong. No one should be treated like that.
Susan McClary is a coordinator at Greenville Homeless Alliance and says they've heard of this happening in other parts of the country. McClary says women who are homeless live in constant fear of being attacked.
We have heard of women especially sometimes feeling very vulnerable. And, you know, we've also heard, yes, of people ending up in the hospital.
Tina Harris was once homeless herself, but now works for Favor Upstate.
If it's during the day and there are a lot of people around, because I know some people don't want to put themselves in unsafe situations, just ask a homeless person, hey, how are you doing today? Because I promise you will have some of the most interesting stories that you'll hear. And if you took the time, like this Andy guy here in Edgewater, I took the time just to talk to him a little bit. And after hearing his story, could it be a lie? Yeah, it could easily be a big lie. But if what he told me was true, I can absolutely see why he is in the situation that he's in. Because if you've gotten caught up in all this other stuff, yeah, you never know. Never know. I used to be one of those people that would like, oh, I'm not giving. I really do not give people money that are begging. You know what changed my mind? Andy here in Edgewater, never once has asked me for money. You know what he asked me for? Hey, do you got a little bit of extra money? I would love an orange Gatorade and a Hershey's chocolate bar. And if I got the extra scratch, I definitely help him out. I do all the time. And I even asked him, hey, do you mind? I got a lot of Tupperware at the house and stuff. My mom has a lot of leftovers sometimes, and instead of throwing them away, would you like them? Hell yeah. Thanks, man. So just find out a little bit about these people, because not all the vagrants and stuff are just lazy drug addicts, because they're not.
Where she helps the population. She hears about the attacks on the homeless.
I see people come with black eyes and bruises and how they got beat down and something taken away from them. These people that I saw in the video, they were clothed.
The sheriff's office says some of the people in these attacks were beaten unconscious. They also believe some of the attacks happened in several local homeless camps around the San Suu Kyi area.
Really concerning.
Now advocates hope these videos and pictures will bring awareness and change to get the vulnerable off the street.
And I've seen the video. A lot of these homeless, they did not fight back. They did not fight back because these cowards caught them completely off guard.
Once and for all.
We need to do something to help people to get into a place where they're not living outside.
The Greenville County Sheriff's Office says they receive more information.
All right, so I'm going to remove this. You know what? I think my First Amendment. Oh, Hold on, I got my guess. I probably was saved by, I was saved by the bell here. Antonis.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. All right, there's your camera. Oh, hold on, I got to put you side by side, my friend. There we go. Dude, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, mate? All good?
I'm doing wonderful. Okay, so I am, all right, so, all right, before we get into everything, all right, so I looked up, I like to try to research a little bit. How do you pronounce your last name? I did not want to offend you or anything, but I was trying to like do research, trying to figure it out and everything. So how do you say your last name?
Yeah, it's a problem that everyone has basically. So no worries at all, no problem. So it's Ustayanakis. You can say it really.
All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be with a G, but I've changed it to a Y because it's easier to pronounce it.
Hey, are you a big basketball fan? Didn't ever wherever was a lot of people in Greece and everything? Were they like excited about Giannis?
Yes, they are.
Is basketball everyone. A big sport there? Is it?
Well, it's more of a football country, but basketball is a big, is like the second most popular sport, I can say.
All right. So before I have some, by the way, I have been a soccer fan. I started watching soccer during the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. So that's how long I've been into soccer, and I love the English culture. I know that you're playing in Wales. I have so many questions. When I went to England to see a bunch of soccer matches, I went to Cardiff. You're near Cardiff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Cardiff because I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I know they do a lot of the filming there. So before we get into the interview, I would like to give my guests the floor so you can tell the audience a little bit about yourself, how they can check out any of your stuff, and then we'll get into the interview.
All right. So I'm Antonis. I'm a PE teacher. I recently graduated from Cardiff Met Uni. I'm also playing football along with my coaching career. Yes, that's all about my life, basically.
All right. So a lot of people, because we have an MLS team here in Central Florida. We got Orlando City Soccer, okay? We really don't have a soccer pyramid here in the United States. It's just divisions and stuff. One of the questions that I had is what I love about English soccer and the pyramid is that a bunch of dudes that have just regular jobs and everything, and they play soccer. If they're good enough, they upset a team. They would get to play the big boys. All right. I mean, isn't that what happened? Now, you being in a lower division in Wales, do you guys get to compete in the FA Cup?
Well, the FA Cup is in English football. And in Wales, we've got the...
Oh, you got the Wales. Okay.
The FAW Welsh Cup.
But Welsh teams can make it to the Premier League, though, right?
Yes, they can. And the Welsh Cup as well. And it's a bit different because, you know, there is less population in Wales. There is much more popularity in England. Better teams in England. They're getting paid more in England. More teams in England, more players in England. So, as you can see, it's massive difference between the two countries.
Oh, basically. Yeah. Well, but the reason I was bringing up the FA Cup and everything is that Orlando City, they're kind of an expansion team. They've been around about 8 years in the top division. So, they made it to the final. So, we have the U.S. Open Cup, the Lamar U.S. Open Cup here in the United States. So they start out with like 120 teams even like the lower amateur clubs get to be able to compete into it. So Orlando City is playing a third division team in the finals. And I'm just, I don't think a lot of the Americans here realize like how cool that is, you know, yeah. Like, but I have a feeling because you get those upsets. You get those upsets, and this,
yeah, exactly.
This third division team could come in there and beat the MLS person.
Mm. That's literally the case in Wales, because if you take a look at from step one, the first Welsh Prem, till the very last, which is maybe step five or step six, it's literally if you are in the Welsh Cup and you have a chance to actually compete with the big boys in Welsh Prem. And this is not a fully professional league in Wales, which is disappointing, but you can still feel that tension. You can play in the big stadiums and stuff like that. It's not like English football, obviously, but it's something.
And so
be more like America there, as you said.
So I gotta ask you, you're a goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
All right. So do the goalkeepers on a football team get a lot of like messing around? Because as a goalkeeper, do you guys gotta run as much as the field players, the ones that are, you know, running around and stuff? Do they ever like, oh man, you guys don't even run. You don't have to condition as much as we do. Or is that something that is a wise deal? Like, do you as a goalkeeper, how do you condition? Is it more about fast twitch, being reactive and stuff, yeah, or stamina a part of it?
So it's a different kind of stamina, I can say, because if you are an outfield player, obviously you've got that sprint, then change of direction always, all the time in all the 90-minute games, okay? But as a goalkeeper, you need to be more in the change of direction game. So you're working in the box most of the time, but you're doing many more change of directions than outfield players. And if you add to that the diving or catching, jumping, all this stuff. And actually, the goalkeeping training sessions, especially professional,
I've seen them. They're just one after another, kicking balls. Yeah, and then
you can't imagine how difficult that is.
It's one after another. All right, so I got to ask you this. So as soccer, as a footballer and stuff, right, the strikers, the forwards, they're the ones that are getting all the ladies, right? Now, I would think that the goalkeepers, like, I mean, they get a lot of attention as well too, right? Because you guys get to wear different jerseys or kits than everybody else.
Yeah, so to be honest with you, I've never I'm seeing it from your own perspective now. I've never thought of that.
Well, I was just saying, like, do defensive men, are they like the low man on the pole? Like, whenever like the ladies are like, oh, I'm gonna go from striker to wingers, central midfield. Some women might be, oh, I need a defensive midfield holder, or I need a center back type person. You know, like, I mean, is there like a hierarchy there?
I mean, there is everywhere hierarchy, but I've never into really that kind of thing. So for example, I've never thought I was going to play football because I'm going to get many girlfriends.
Come on. Don't lie to me. All the footballers.
I mean, honestly, it's exciting to know that you are famous or something.
Yes.
If you get famous in football. But yeah, it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest. I just love the sport. And it's just passion. If you're passionate, no matter the position, you're going to make a difference. That's how I see it, from my experience at least.
What's the biggest name player you've been on the pitch with at one time? Lakehead?
Biggest. Yeah. It was in a game. It wasn't actually an 11-a-side game, but it was against Gary Bennett. He's a previous. Do you know Sunderland?
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Sunderland AFC. He's a legend of that team, and he was one of the best defenders in the Premier League that ever existed, basically. So it was a big honor being my captain, basically, or whatever you can say.
So I gotta. All right. So we're talking about English football and stuff. Give me your top three goalies to play in the English Premier League.
Only Premier League.
I mean, where would you pick? Here, I'll tell you the ones that I have, and I would like to see where, instead of you having to say, all right, so Edwin van der Sar.
Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, does he even deserve to be in the top three there?
For sure. However,
Would you pick? I would love to hear.
I'm just 22, so I'm thinking some more recent examples. So like
De Gea?
Obviously De Gea. I can say Alisson. I can say Anderson. I can say
What about wasn't Hart? Wasn't he on the English?
Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can say that. Yeah, many examples. I don't wanna actually I love all of them, to be honest, in the Premier League.
Do you guys ever cheat as goalkeepers by pinning? Like, do they give you guys a rule of, like, what you can put on your gloves when it comes to, like, stickiness? Like, you know, here in America, like, baseball pitchers, they love to, like, put pine tar or, like, Vaseline on the ball to make it, like, spin differently and everything. Do they, like, is there, like, any banned substances that you're not allowed to use?
So there are always banned substances, but I don't know them, to be honest with you.
Like, you couldn't put, like, super glue on your gloves or what? Well, yeah, I mean, it eventually would harden.
Something is different because it's, you know, in wet conditions, your gloves, no matter how expensive or good they are, you're going to slip. So there is specific equipment you can buy to enhance your performance as a goalkeeper, and it's totally legal if you want to say that. But yeah, it's like with the shoes, with our football boots. If you can see, especially some brands, like they've got some spikes or
You don't want metal or anything way too hard.
Yeah. It's literally the same thing, but in gloves, basically.
All right, so I gotta ask you this. I see this all the time. Everybody thinks that a penalty shootout is the greatest thing in soccer. I kind of hate it, just because the best team always doesn't win. You know. I saw this thing where, like, Mythbusters were saying it's, like, virtually impossible for a goalie, you know, from the distance, from where the ball is spotted to the time he kicks it and you know what direction it's going. They say it's impossible for what you're seeing to go from your eyeballs to your brain to be able to react fast enough. Our penalty kicks, nothing but a guessing game. And a follow-up question, do you study before a game in case it goes to a penalty kick? Like, all right, he likes to go. Or it's kind of like poker. They have a tell. Like, they do something that says, all right, if he does this, he's going to go right or he's going to go left. Is it luck or is there a way you can prepare yourself?
So to your first question, It is actually a bit impossible, if you can say that word, but literally with a new rule, there is a new rule in the last couple of years that you can't leave your line until the ball is moved from the penalty spot.
I've seen with VAR, I've seen some of those called back too. Yeah. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, that's really bad for goalkeepers, literally. And many, many professionals talked about it. If you want to take a look in the YouTube, there's everywhere one professional or more who discount it.
So what do you got to keep at least one of your feet or one of your feet on the line? You have to be on the line?
Yeah, when you take your first step. So let's say you dive on your right. Mm. You move your right foot forward always. And then your left foot must touch the line at all times before the ball goes.
So but as soon as it leaves his foot, you can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you don't have much time.
It is.
Yeah, and actually, there are many teams that study players, especially in finals or cup games, where there's
just in case
possibilities. Yeah, to go to a penalty shootout. In my level, we don't do any of that because we don't have any. Enhanced analysis.
Opposition. Because they're smaller divisions. You guys are working other jobs and stuff. You know, it's like.
Yeah, actually, yeah, literally speaking. And also, you know, it's as you say, it is a mind game. But I think at this level, it's not so difficult. If you're mentally strong, it's not so difficult to guess and do the right thing in a penalty shootout because they are not really strong enough mentally, I can say.
You know, in a lot of American sports, there's a lot of trash talking going on, especially in basketball. Mm. Like, you try to get into somebody's head. Like, are the goalies allowed to, like, talk any trash and just be, you know, like, you know, maybe they know something personal about the guy that's about to kick the ball. Maybe you can get in his head like, hey, man, saw your sister the other day. You know, like I was like, man, she's eating good, buddy. You know, she got that ass going on or whatever. Like, could you get in their head or anything like that? Or is that like, would you get a yellow card or a red card for that? Like,
I'm gonna say to you, but give me one sec because my lights went off.
Oh no, you look good. I can still see you and everything.
Good.
Yeah, I can still see you perfectly.
I'm okay then. All right. So, there are loads of things going on the pitch that you guys from outside can't hear, and can't even notice. But many stuff going on. The referees do nothing about it because it's literally impossible to.
Because
there are 22 players on the pitch.
But there's a lot of different languages, though, too. Like, right? Like, I mean, that's also the other thing. Who's
literally impossible? Yeah.
Who's the most famous Greek footballer?
Greek football, the most famous.
The only thing I know about Greek football wasn't David Beckham the one that hit that like free kick with like
stoppage?
That was against Greece, right?
Against Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Fortunis is one of the most famous.
Mm-hmm.
There are many youngsters that are going up the ladder as well in foreign countries like Vlachodimos, like Yakumakis, like what can I say? There was another goalkeeper, Greek goalkeeper in English football, but I don't remember his name.
I want to ask you this, and then I'm gonna wrap it up. But my favorite, the football team, and I know everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, you're rooting for the New York Yankees of soccer," but I always have supported since 2010 Manchester United, and the only reason was because of Sir Alex Ferguson. I love him. He is amazing. Did you see the documentary of his that they did? It was like Never Give Up. It was so well done, Atona. You would absolutely love it.
I actually want to see that, but I haven't seen it yet. I feel shame right now. But anyway, because I love that manager. I've got a couple of his books. I've read all his books.
Mm.
And yeah, it was really... He's the best manager.
You know what? You know what I got from that, though, is that he 1 minute could be like on your ass yelling at you. They called it the hairdryer treatment. And what they meant by the hairdryer treatment was that he would yell and get so close into your face. If your hair was wet, it would dry it. You know, they called that the hairdryer treatment. But then if he saw you on the pitch and he saw like maybe something was bothering you, you were having a bad day, he'd always come up and he'd be like, look, you know, you can always, no matter what, you can come talk to me, whatever's going on in your personal life. Back when Ronaldo was as big as Ronaldo was in the documentary, talking about his father had passed away and they were like playing in the semifinals of like the FA Cup. And Sir Alex was like, look, take your days, man. That's the most important thing. And I think that's why so many people played their heart out for him.
Yes, he's like a father figure to many people, especially Ronaldo. I like that kind of management from my managers. There are managers that are very calm. I've got a very calm manager at the moment. I really like it, but I had another managers in the past that were more like Sir Alex, with a lot of talking, screaming right in front of your face. It's kind of different. If you are not that close to the player, he's gonna
resent you. He's gonna resent you and stuff.
It's gonna be the worst thing. But if he's literally like a father figure, then that's the best thing you can have, I believe.
Yeah. So how are things? I talk to this girl all the time that her name is Amy Sinha. She lives in Swansea. How far is Swansea?
Swansea, I think it's something like 50 minutes. I'm not sure.
Hey, was it hot? Like, I know you guys just went through like a heat wave over there in the United Kingdom, didn't you? Was it hot?
Yeah. It wasn't just hot. It was boiling.
did you guys still have to practice or you know, and do what you needed to do? Or are you guys like off right now?
No, we're still practicing, but we still have a problem basically because the grass
has died.
It's this time of the year when it's getting a little bit yellow because of the weather.
Mm.
And it's literally nothing you can do about it. Just go with emotions and be patient to start rain for a little bit and obviously getting a little bit wet basically.
I keep thinking of all types of questions. Have you ever played at Millennium Stadium in Cardiff?
Millennium, no.
No. I went there and saw that place. It is...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I went and saw it, but it's a pretty impressive stadium, Millennium. Mm. It is really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's good to play in front of crowds, even if you're a manager, player, staff, it's brilliant. I remember the biggest stadium I've played was one in Greece, in Crete, which is, I think, is it 23,000, but obviously not sold out.
Yeah.
Just a few parents because I was under 40s or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the big stadium. Big influence to the players.
Was everybody going crazy that Wales made the World Cup?
Yes, everybody went crazy. It was the best thing that happened to them, but I don't blame them. Literally, they deserve that.
Yeah, it's been a while. All right. Hey, Antonis, tell my audience a little bit about yourself again. I'm going to take all your links and post them in the description of the podcast when I'm done.
All right. So, yeah, details. It's my name, Antonis Ustayanakis. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Yeah, that's all basically these four platforms. And, yeah, that's all basically. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, your invitation.
Well, you're a good guy, man. So if you get picked up by a big team or whatever, Ryan Reynolds has a team in Wales too, right? Wrexham.
Huh?
I
know that.
I mean, come on. See, look, we need to get you on Wrexham because you got Ryan Reynolds that owns the place. And I'm serious. It's a great story. They're doing a big documentary. They're probably going to do a reality show with the whole thing. Yeah. I'm telling you, we got to get you on Wrexham.
I can imagine being a player for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and could you imagine all the hot women that would be in the state? They would just be like, oh, Antonis, he's in front of goal. Forget about it. I'm coming here. As soon as you get out and you go to your Range Rover, and you're driving off or whatever. No, you're more of probably like a Bugatti type guy. Yeah, driving out, walking out to your Bugatti, getting in it, and it's just like Ryan Reynolds is there. You got all these ladies, and he's like, Antonis, pick out whatever you want, my friend.
No, I'm not that kind of guy, to be honest.
No, I know you're not. I'm just being over the top, so.
Yeah, no worries.
All right.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Well, hey, I really enjoyed this interview, and you're more than welcome on the show anytime. And if there's anything I ever do for you, let me know, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All the best for your channel and everything you do.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
So one question, is this going to be on Spotify or YouTube?
Yeah. So what I do is... See, this is live on YouTube, but it'll automatically be up on YouTube. Then it's on Twitch, and then I take the audio and then I put it up. It'll be available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the big podcasting platforms. I'm big time. No, I'm just joking. Brilliant. Not really.
I wish you all the best. Become even bigger time. You know what I mean?
All right.
All the best, mate. Take care.
All right, and if you get on Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds, don't forget me, okay?
Yeah, no way, honestly. Man.
All right, man. See you, man. All right, guys. I enjoyed that. I did. I really did. I loved it. Thank you. I'll put up all the links, but I'm gonna get out of here, guys. I want to thank everybody that checked out tonight's show. You want to follow me and you want to catch the audio podcast, you can find it. It's on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio app. It's on just Google Pod. Wherever there's podcasts, the Tuttle Daily Podcast is there. You'll be able to find it. If you're listening to the audio version of this and you want to check me out live, you can easily do that. I put that up in all the descriptions because I got to be careful about who I talk about, and I don't talk about. Anyways, getting out of here, guys. Hope you have a great night. Hope you stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.